Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. For a lot of us, working from home is a pretty good deal, but the pandemic shutdown has shown us a very different side of working from home. The 9-to-5 has now expanded to when you get out of bed all the way up until you go back to bed. 8 hours has become 10, 12, even more hours daily. And tonight, we're trying to help you find the work-life balance, even when working from home. My guests are Sonia Aline, author of I Kick Ass at Work, a strategy journal for career professional women, and Joseph Williams, licensed therapist and motivational speaker. Are you having a hard time trying to find a balance between work and home, which is also work? Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Sonia, Joseph, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Oh, thank you for having us. How are you?
Thank you.
I'm doing just fine sitting here in my dining room.
Right. Of course.
Yes, where I have been since approximately 10 a.m.
Right.
And we'll be here until 9 p.m. Thank goodness it's Friday, but I'm struggling here. I'm really
Friday? Who knew? Right.
No, Friday.
Friday.
I'm struggling here though, Sonia. Help me. How do I find the balance? Kind of give me an outline of just how rough it's been for a lot of people since the shutdown in March.
It has been very rough. That's not news for anybody, right? And the challenge with finding life, this work-life balance, is that most of us were struggling with that before the pandemic, under normal conditions. And so, you know, if you look at statistics, like, we don't take our lunch hour, we work at our desk, we don't take our vacation days. And so what I would think is that the first thing that people have to do is determine what balance is going to mean for them. Because when we were in the workspace, balance meant that we wanted to spend more time with the family. We wanted to spend more time at home. We wanted to do the things that we wanted to do. And so now that we're home, a lot of us are home with families or partners or spouses. And that's been good for a lot of people, that the time that we've been able to spend more time with the family. But now we've got to decide what balance is going to look like. And I mean, and really think about that, because now not only do you need a break from work, but you may need some away time or some balance from the family, from the kids, from the husband, from the spouse, that as well.
So where do you go when you need a break from home when there's no place to go? You know, we've had this extremely difficult shutdown since March, and municipalities and states have moved to shut down, from shutdown to phase one and phase two, and then phase three. But then there's discussion about rolling things back to phase two, and you can't go inside the restaurant, but let's go outside. And then people are acting crazy on the outside, so you don't want to go to the outside. I mean, do you escape the family by just standing out on the front porch?
I don't know if you want me to answer that, but I have seen that in my neighborhood. I've seen people sitting in their cars. People sitting on the front steps. And again, you know, it depends on how, you know, large your residence is, right? So there are people who have nice homes, so they have basements, or they have a den, or they have, you know, enough bedrooms or a spacious backyard. There are people who are living in studio apartments. And so for those that are in more closed quarters, I would suggest things like meditation, like really taking time out to shut things down. You know, part of this extended workday is mean that you're sitting at a computer all day, you're on your phone all day, and so your mind doesn't get a chance to rest at all. And so for those who are in really small quarters, I suggest taking time out, whether it's a walk, whether it's sitting in a park, or whether it's finding a corner in your home to just be and think and breathe and meditate. And those who have the space, and I would suggest this for anyone as well, is to actually create structured opportunities to take your breaks. You know, like you mentioned earlier, we're working the minute we get out of bed, which means we're probably checking our phones as soon as we get up, and we're checking our phones before we go to bed. And what you may want to do is to structure some time in and say, I'm going to shut my phone off at this point, or I'm not going to start mm-hmm. checking messages until this time. And depending on how your deadlines flow, like saying, like, I'm going to take these 2 hours or this hour here and this hour later on in the day to either just prepare my meal or to watch something mindless or to read a book. But mm-hmm. it's got to be a lot more structured, because everything is kind of just flowing with no, if you don't make if you don't create the structure, there will be no structure.
Joseph, but here's, mm-hmm. Here's my question though. If you don't have the option of, obviously, like I do, of traveling to the West Wing of my mansion,
right?
or perhaps sitting in one of the three Bentleys or the Rolls Royce out front,
right?
How do you handle it? What are your clients struggling with when
right now
they're dealing with?
I wanted to dive right in on that question. Right now, I'm doing telehealth, and what the theme has been with some of the professional clients that I've had, work was an escape from them from their responsibilities at home. And so a lot of them who are in marriages or relationships, who have children, be it small children or teenagers, they're starting to realize that being away was actually therapeutic for them, or it gave them an escapism. Even though you were kind of putting everything on pause to deal with work, you had a space where you can actually walk away from that for a few hours and then come back to it. So what's starting to happen is that a lot of the clients that I've been working with are now starting to realize there are some things that are undone in their home. There are some relationships that need to be repaired. There are some irritability there that they kind of struggle with being around their partner, or things in their home that they have to look at daily. So what I've noticed is that for some of the clients that I've worked with, being home has been a trigger for them. A lot of my clients have complained about not being able to sleep, always being anxious, not feeling like they have anything to do or anything to step away from. And so my biggest clinical advice for them has been to find something that you enjoy, that makes you feel good, that's safe in this pandemic. And I think that a lot of us, we can talk about, with us being in phase two or three, I love to go get my nails done. But if that's part of your general upkeep, that's not going to be anything to help you feel balanced. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to find something that makes us feel good, that gives us a safe space of escapism. And so we've been identifying those things. Most of my clients, they had no real escapism even prior to this pandemic, even prior to quarantine. They had no real outlet, but because they were able to run to a bar after work, or, deal with a friend, or go see a friend after work to kind of dump on, now we have to be home, and we have to protect our families, and we have to protect ourselves. So now they're starting to realize there was a lot of stuff that was undone. And so the goal that I've been doing with most of my consumers have been to just kind of discover those things that make you feel good, to kind of do that inward work, to set boundaries. And a lot of us don't talk about boundaries. When you're getting up straight out of bed, taking a shower, eating, and then going straight to work in the next room or in the bedroom or some desk that you ordered off of Amazon that you're trying to create a makeshift office from, it's difficult when you don't have a real space to actually say, I'm stepping away from work right now. So it's been very difficult for a lot of my clients to identify those things, but then also to set boundaries about, hey, what's important, and am I wrong to not take this call?
Interesting.
Can I honestly say that today I can only do this, and mm-hmm. once I'm done with this, I have to be done. And I think because of a lot of, I don't want to go too deep, but because of a lot of family stuff, because of a lot of cultural stuff, you need to work hard, pay your bills. You know, a lot of times, you know, vacation is a 3-year thing, a 4-year thing, a 2-year planning thing. And so a lot of times we feel guilty to do something great for ourselves. Yeah. There are a lot of single moms out here. There are a lot of single fathers out here. There are a lot of people who are doing it on their own. So to say, hey, I'm going to run here or do this for myself, sometimes we have to kind of struggle with that guilt. Is this the right thing to do?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that what I've been trying to do with some of the clients, and it's been difficult to unpack some of those feelings of guilt, to unpack some of those things that mama and grandma and grandpa told us that we need to do in order to survive, you
okay.
know. And so I've been trying to really get them to focus on things that make them feel good, that can help them at least find a space of peace and calm.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're trying to help you find the work-life balance, particularly under the pandemic shutdown, partial shutdown, phases 1, 2, 3, 3.5, whatever. How do you find the balance, that sanity, that emotional health balance when you are working from home? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you are struggling with this, we would love to hear from you. And if you are not, and if you have found a way to navigate, to walk that tightrope comfortably, we'd still like to hear how you've done it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, one of the things that Joseph touched on, Sonia, and I think this is particularly important, is, you know, I would argue even the most mediocre worker when working from home may find him or herself just really kind of diving all the way in. Even if they are the clock watchers, they start work at 8:59 and they're out the door usually at, you know, 4:59. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't resist maybe answering that extra email, writing the extra email, taking the extra phone call, and forgetting to take the lunch. From a career standpoint, and not just the mental health piece, but just from the career standpoint, is this a good thing to be in this place?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have a choice. And so every person I've talked to so far has said, just as you stated in the beginning, the workday has expanded because the businesses are challenged, corporations are challenged. So either professionals are finding that there is no work, that there's less work, or that there's more work. So there's nothing that has just stayed the same. And so you have to make you just have to be a lot more conscientious. And I think that's the hardest piece. And it speaks to some of what Joseph was talking about. Like, you have to just be a lot more conscientious about how you're going to manage your time. And so your manager obviously has demands. And so you're going to have to determine, you know, what you can do and what you can't do. What is a priority for your department, and what could wait possibly until the evening? The benefit to some of this is that you may have deadlines that, because your home is your workspace, that you can decide to work either in the daytime or you can work in the evening. Obviously, most of your meetings are going to be during the work hours. But if after your last meeting, you decide, okay, I'm going to take this period as a break, and I work better at night anyway, and so I'm going to do my work from 9 to 10 or 10 to 11, or you may be the person who says, you know, after my last meeting, I'm going to knock this out. I'm going to work until 8 p.m., and then I'm going to shut everything down. And so the big challenge for everyone is, it's really just being conscientious. Some of us work in environments where you do have to have your phone on all the time, and that hasn't changed.
Yes.
But you have to be able to say, I'm going to take this time, even if it's an hour, or I'm going to take a half hour now and I'll take it a half hour later on. But if you don't, you know, and Joseph can attest to this, you are just going to run yourself down.
Yeah,
either with the stress or the mental, you know, the mental stress of it all, the physical stress of it all, and you won't be good to anybody else.
Yeah, I need to take a break, but I want to let Sean know she's on the phone. We're going to take her phone call after this break. So, Sean, please do not hang up. If you want to get in on this conversation, whether you are doing well with the work-life balance or not, I want to hear from you. Keep trying if the lines are tied up. We promise we will get to you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And don't forget, you can hear this and every discussion via podcast on WHUR.com. I post them before 9 p.m. every night. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. The Original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM in just a few seconds. Hey everybody, we are continuing our discussion about finding the work-life balance even when working from home during the pandemic shutdown. My guests are Sonia Aleen, author of I Kick Ass at Work, a strategy journal for career professional women, and Joseph Williams, licensed therapist and motivational speaker. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, I mentioned that we're going to talk to Sean, calling from Upper Marlboro. Sean, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I just wanted to call in and just speak to just trying to find that work-life balance in these times. Early on, it was a struggle for me, just trying to figure out how to keep it all together while teaching my son at home and trying to work. But I found that if I kept that same structure as if I was going to work, it helped to get up and maintain the same routine. And I would make sure I carved out purposeful pauses in my day so that I could relax. And also when the day was over, I know we couldn't go anywhere, but if I could just get in my car, for those who need some time away for themselves, if you could just get in your car and just take a ride out. You're not going to see any specific, you're just riding, just seeing the world, just taking a moment just to clear your head. And that worked a lot because I found that if I stayed in the house all day, by 7 o'clock, I was having a moment.
Well, there you go, Sean. That's some good advice. What do you think about what she was sharing with us, Joseph?
You know, I think that that's very healthy, and I do agree. You have to remain structured, because if you have no structure at that point, it will be a free-for-all related to work, related to raising your children and everything else. I mean, I can only keep it with myself. I am doing telehealth, and because of the pandemic, I've had an influx of clients to come in requesting therapeutic services, and there were some days where I'm seeing 10 clients a day for an hour each. And so what I had to do, I had to get up in the morning. I had to have a morning. You know, I had to, you know, link up with some of the people on Instagram and do some workouts, you know, and do some stuff to make me feel good. I had to take the walks by myself away from people to take a walk downtown, come back home, get myself together, shower, and then start work in order to clear my mind. So I do agree that that was some of the most amazing advice that anyone can give. We have to do the best that we can to protect ourselves from COVID-19, but moreover, we have to understand that we are human beings, and to be trapped in, it does create some type of emotional impact on us, where we become more irritable, where we become more anxious, where we become more bothered by things around us. So we have to have that outlet. So I believe that the young lady, the sister that just called, was right on point. And I think that that's very healthy, her approach to that.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're looking for that all-important work-life balance, even when you are working from home, especially if you've been working from home for some 4 or 5 months now. Here's my question. You know, Sonia, and I think this is really a critical piece. Pre-COVID, were you seeing people, you know, and as is the case with your book, you know, particularly women who may have had more work-life balance and that perhaps they were working the way they are now, even pre-COVID, because, you know, we've been talking about this issue for years, finding work-life balance before anyone ever heard of COVID-19. So is this such a new issue?
Because it's really a fallacy. Like, you really just can't balance work and life. You can make choices. And so you can choose that you're going to work a certain way, and then you can choose that you're going to take your breaks, or that you're going to create some time to develop yourself, or you're going to spend more time with your family focused on certain either events or certain, whether they're celebrations or whether they're appointments. But they're really just choices that you have to make, because the truth of the matter is, particularly as, and depending on how people are working, if you're working for a company that's a global company, the work hour, the workday has expanded, and the demands for what the workday entails has expanded. Responsibilities for jobs have tremendously increased. And so, you know, one of the reasons that I had written the book is because we're so deadline oriented, a lot of times we don't take time out to look at what's best for us, to choose what's best for us. So, you know, particularly Black women will just get the next deadline completed and work to the next deadline and finish the, you know, and finish the next deadline. But work is a series of deadlines. So you have to, at some point, sit back and say, all right, what is working for me? What is not? And what is it that I need? And how can I work better to get the things that I need and choose what's right for me?
Mm-hmm. You know, Joseph, some people deal with this better than others. And I've over the past several months in having an opportunity to talk to my friends, for example, pre-COVID, there have been, you know, a lot of them were in the streets, you know, hanging out, you know, at the restaurants, down on the waterfront, doing, you know, just really, you know, getting it in and experiencing, you know, life as we knew it, our best lives. That's what they were living. And now that shutdown isn't just that, but it's a mental shutdown as well. What is your biggest concern with talking to some of your clients who may, as a result of just all they have is work now, work and Netflix, that's all, you know, that's all they have. You know, what is your concern about their, you know, their mental health?
I'm greatly concerned. Moreover, I had a client recently tell me that she watched every blaxploitation film that they've ever made on Amazon Prime. Wow. And now she's like, I'm depressed. I was watching all these empowered women like Foxy Brown. I want to step out and I can't. I want to go to the VFW and talk some trash to some men, but I can't at this point. And I'm like, I understand. And so I'm like, what makes you feel good? She says, talking to my girlfriends, talking to my sisters, you know. And so we set up a time where she can set up a Zoom happy hour with her friends. They can get dressed up. And I say, make an event of it. Get dressed. You know, do your eyebrows. Put on some makeup. Beat your face. Sit in front of that camera and communicate with your girlfriends. Make it a thing. Play some music. Have games that you can play in order to kind of feel like you are connecting. She struggled with that because, you know, not everybody is as social media savvy or computer savvy, but we're working on that. I believe that a lot of people are starting to realize how empty their lives were outside of this before COVID-19, they had these buffers. But then what starts to happen is that now that everything has been shut down, they have to kind of face themselves. And I've had a lot of concerns for my single individuals that I've been seeing, particularly women. A lot of women have that I've worked with have engaged in, you know, behaviors, be it on dating apps, because they just feel like to sleep in this bed alone is traumatizing to me. So I need company. So some people have compromised themselves just to feel connected. So just making rightful choices that will put you on the side of safety have been a major concern for me, as well as increased drinking and overeating has been a major concern for me. When you have nothing else to do, you eat more. When you enjoy, you know, the wine and spirits, sometimes you'll drink more because it gives you a space of just kind of unwinding. And so drinking, a lot of professionals that I've spoken with who work very important jobs with government, who are working from home, they said, I was tipsy by noon on a Zoom meeting. So just some of those habits have been very concerning for me as it relates to being a therapist and some of the choices that some of the clients have engaged in. So I've been talking about safety. I've been talking about, you know, putting yourself in the right space of health, things that you were thinking that you need to do. Why don't you try to explore them? If it's a project that you want to do this week with some of my clients, I said, hey, they have a deal on bamboo pillows on Amazon. Those are some very comfortable pillows. Why don't you order them and you do a facelift for your bed? Get a mattress cover. Buy a down comforter and a duvet. Do something really beautiful that's going to make you feel good, something that you can look forward to. We've been talking about, you know, cleansing ourselves of old habits and everything else, and people have been very receptive to it because now that we don't have as many outside forces which can kind of take our mind off ourselves, now we have to kind of look at ourselves. So the bigger point for me was to find peace in yourself, make peace with old habits, and then also try to find new ways to kind of identify a new part of you that you can really love and honor and respect.
I am already Googling bamboo pillows.
They are amazing. They are amazing.
I'm going to have to check that out. Does this sound familiar to you, Sonia?
The part of, well, so I've had this experience has been different for me. Being home for me and being quiet in relating to some of what Joseph is saying, it was a great time of introspection for me. So I didn't, because I was so scared, and I am so scared of COVID, I totally changed my eating habits. So I eat much better. I'm drinking much less alcohol than I ever did. I'm working out more than I have. And so it's giving me the space to really think about, like, what does Sonia want to do next? Like, and do I have bouts of sadness or frustration, anxiety? Absolutely.
Yes.
But I think I'm able to manage that much better because I am working out, because I am eating healthy, because I am doing, you know, certain things that just kind of center me. And I'm doing work to really determine, like, how do I want to come out of this? Where do I want to travel next? I've been doing things on my, you know, I was doing things in the home. For the first time, I had time to do things in my home. So that, you know, talking about, like, sprucing up your bed or your rooms, or like that has been what I've been able to do during this time. And so if you move that to your career, you can also spend that time documenting all of your successes, looking at what you've done really well and how you can be more strategic in terms of where you want to move your career. Also, most of the, if not all of the Ivy League colleges are now offering free courses. So you can take free courses to enhance your skills or to enhance your knowledge. So this can be, you know, there's a lot of, we've experienced a lot of tragedy. We've experienced a lot of tension and aggravation. But we can use this time to really make ourselves better, stronger, smarter. And in terms of work, a lot more strategic about what you want to do next.
But Joseph, go right ahead.
Just to kind of jump on Sister Sonia's statement. Yes, and that's very true. And I believe that what I have said to myself and what I say to my clients and those I'm associated with, this time should be the time of being intentional with yourself. Being intentional. And for those listeners, I need you to put that in your phone. I need you to post it on social media. I want to be intentional with myself. We have to learn how to unplug. You know, watching CNN, watching MSNBC, watching all of the news outlets, it's nothing but death, dying, numerics, banters with presidents, hate speeches, all of this stuff. So we have to learn how to say, you know what, today I'm not doing this.
Today I'm not doing this.
We have to learn how to mute things on social media that's not going to be helpful to ourselves, because that's been the only outlet for a lot of people. So I do believe that there are so many avenues. There's so many amazing personal trainers who have worked with celebrities that are offering free classes on Instagram, one of which is Motivation by Moses on Instagram that I've been taking up with. They're giving you free dietary situations and dynamics, different suggestions that you would have to pay thousands of dollars to actually participate in. These individuals are really offering free services. Motivation by Moses, I've even seen a change in my body. I can't wait till next summer where I can step out. That's how amazing it's been.
Are you showing off?
Right, I'm a little something.
Go ahead and show off, you know, right. because this is why, and you touched on part of what I was going to talk about. You are motivated, and I got to tell you, though, a lot of people are not. And short of coming to see you, Joseph, how do you motivate someone who, other than work, cannot find it within themselves to do anything else? I could count on both hands and toes. You know, one friend who works from home anyway, and she would not leave the house at all. Another friend who was working in a bank, and now she's working at home, and I'm like, you need to get out and you need to try to exercise. And there's always some excuse. It's my hair. It's too hot. I don't do it during the summer. I mean, I had to take a moment after I got off the phone with her. Because I felt worse after I got off the phone than I did when I got on the phone.
Yes.
And I know, what that is about, but how do you get someone to get out of their own way when everything is appearing to be in their own way?
If I can, with all due respect to Sister Sonia, I want to say this.
Well, I was asking you, and then we can definitely hear from her too. But go ahead, please.
Okay, so I usually ask anyone, because usually someone who doesn't have that motivation, we're kind of tampering and dabbling and dancing with a little bit of depression. So, and I know a lot of people have been reports of depression based on where we are today. So I usually ask them, let's identify with a time when you were motivated, when you felt like you were on top of the world. And so everyone can identify a time in their life, even if it was 20 years ago, where they felt the most motivated. And then I always ask them, where were you emotionally at that time when that was happening? What has happened to cause you to not feel as motivated? And what tends to motivate you? And those are questions that I have to ask myself. Those are questions that I have to ask the people that I'm associated with, the people that I love and care about. What motivates you? What makes you feel empowered? What makes you feel empowered? And I've heard some of the craziest things, but they've been beautiful in all respect. This one woman said,
I really enjoy going to buy bras and panties for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that makes you feel motivated? She said, it makes me feel sexy. It makes me feel empowered. It makes me feel great about myself. And I'm like, did you take pictures of them? Did you show people? She was like, no, I just felt like I had it on and it made me feel good. So I'm like, well, we need to look up some new bras and panties for yourself. You know what I mean? And so these are things that people do. So we have to identify what motivates you and what can make you feel motivated. Because I want to say this to anybody who feels that way, because I know that's a real thing. You don't deserve to feel that way. It's undeserving and it's unfair. And if you don't have the motivation to even smile or do something great for yourself, and doing something great for yourself does not require money at all. It requires intention. But understand, if you're in that space right now, I understand and I get it, but it's not fair. And you don't deserve to feel that way. And I'd like to say, I'm sorry that you are there, but understand that you yourself have the power to get to another space. Just identify with what has motivated you in the past, what has kept you inspired. And then can we link on to those things? For some people, it's music. For some people, it's going for a walk. For some people, it's just communicating and being able to see family. You know, those are the things that are important. And I think that in this time, and it's so uncertain, it's so we don't know, it's so all over the place. But I think that we have to find alternative ways to be able to attach to those things that keep us motivated. And it's always great to find something new. It's always great to find something new, something amazing. Last week, I told myself, you know, I'm going to order something from Grubhub that I've never eaten before. Some stuff I wasn't too pleased about. Other stuff I was really excited about. You know what I mean? But I said, I'm going to challenge myself, and I'm going to order from this space that I've never heard of. I don't know what this is. I've done some Googling. I've done some research. And I'm like, this is something new. And I felt inspired. And then I started telling everybody, hey, go check this place out. It's amazing. And guess what? I got a free meal out of it today. I mean, I didn't eat it because I didn't like it. But ultimately, it was something new to keep my mind going. You understand where I'm coming from?
I do. Yeah. I do. Let me ask of Sonia the same kind of thing. How do you think that people can remotivate themselves if the motor of motivation needs a really bad tune-up or an oil change or whatever you want to call it, because it's just not cranking right now?
The gas light is on.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally defer to Joseph on this because I am not a therapist, but some of the things that you said that you were doing, Harold, I think is important for those of us who are handling it a little better, and that's checking on our friends and our family. What I find that has been happening since the pandemic is that I've been in touch with more people than I have when I was working. And so sometimes it's just, you know, calling, checking, and seeing where they are, and not talking about the thing that's really frustrating them, but talking about a memory or talking about a new show that you watch that's hilarious, to kind of just take them out. I have also recommended to friends to just unplug from the news, as Joseph said. You know, I had a friend who called me yesterday and was like, what's going on with all this killing in Brooklyn? And I was just like, they're killing in Brooklyn? Like, I have no idea. Like, I live here. But I don't know. I don't know that the crime is up in my neighborhood or in my borough. I can't keep focusing on that. So I have friends who watch the news constantly, and there is no good news on the news. No. And so if you are surrounded by that and living in it, right? So, you know, sometimes we watch the news and we know that it's happening in another state or it's happening in another country or it's happening away from us. We are all affected by this because we're living it. So we're living it, we're watching it, we're reading it. And so you have to, you know, a friend of mine says, well, how are you a journalist and a writer and you're not following the news? And I said, it's for my sanity that I am not doing that. And so, again, it goes back to intention and choices that you have to make decisions for yourself. You know, I said to someone, you know, I have a friend who follows this the political stuff. And, you know, she'll call and be like, can you believe? And I'm just like, of course I can believe. It's been going on for that. Like, why are you surprised? Like, why do you keep getting surprised? Like, Yes, I can believe. And something else is going to happen tomorrow. And we can place a bet right now that something crazy is going to happen next week. But so if you know that, then why are we keeping the focus on crazy? We need to focus on what can we do? What can I do? I can't change anything that's going on in Washington, D.C. I can't change anything that's going on in my environment. Yes, we can vote and we can be engaged. But what we should be focusing on right now is what can I do personally to advance myself, to make myself feel good? And when we fully open up, because we're not going to be here forever, we know that. How do I want to show up when we do step out? And what can I do right now to prepare myself for this new stage or the next stage or the next phase in my life?
How am I gonna stunt after the pandemic? That's the most important thing. How do I want to show up? How do I want to stunt? How do I want to present myself after we've gotten through this? You know,
absolutely.
I want to make sure that the skin is flawless. I want to make sure that I feel good about myself. And I've mended some things that I've been struggling with. How do I show up? I think that's the most beautiful thing. Yes. Thank you, Sonya, for that.
Let me offer this, and this may or may not be able to work for everyone, but one of the things, and this has to do with the life balance, because, and this is, you know, particularly the case for me, I've been working at home since March. I've been living in my house now for 18 years. And I now have relationships with my wonderful neighbors that I didn't know were wonderful until the shutdown.
Right.
Okay. Right. You know, Angelo and Sharon, you know, Frank and Tanya, I'm calling you guys out. Because, you know, Angelo and Sharon, they've been here 6 months longer than I have.
Wow.
You know, and all we did was wave.
Wow.
Okay. And then, you know, you got Frank and Tanya who have been here for barely 2 years, and all we did was wave.
Wow.
Good people, didn't know them, didn't care. Mm-hmm. Now that we are forced to connect, the biggest crime, and I said to Angelo, I said, I have known you, I have seen you for almost 20 years. And I said, look at what we've missed, because he's a wonderful guy.
Exactly.
And I think that has really helped keep me in a place where I probably could have depended on them before if I needed to, but now I am absolutely sure that I can.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, one of my favorite quotes, and it's in my book, it's by Wayne Dyer, who passed away a few years ago. Mm-hmm. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And that's our opportunity in this time. As tragic as it is, as frustrating as it is, we get to change the way we look at things. So you get to look at your neighbors differently, and now you have a different experience with them. And I think we have to do that with everything. Like, I live in this space, and so instead of being frustrated by this space, how can I have gratitude for what this is and see it differently? And the minute you change your perspective on things, then your environment totally changes. And so it's, I get that it's not easy all the time. Like, I fall into spaces of sadness and frustration, and I've cried and I've been angry, and I've built it out to either my son or my mom, because which had nothing to do with what we were actually talking about. It's my frustration. But I really work hard to keep bringing myself back to, I'm here. Like, I'm here. We lost a lot of people. Like, I'm here. I'm healthy. And so I guess I'm here for a reason. Like, there must be work for me to do. And so how do I get busy about getting that work done?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how do I be intentional? I think everything that you guys said and then some, and I think for the listeners, you know, there's so many different resources out here. There's so many different avenues that we can take something new. I'm going to be honest with you. I went to Walmart and I bought a grill. I've never known how to grill. And the brother across the street who I never spoke to, who I found out is from Brooklyn, who I lived across the street from in the condos for 12 years, actually saw me struggling and came over and showed me how to grill. And I grill every day now. You know, and I feel so rewarded and so amazing. And we both agreed that we're going to put on our mask and sit outside and grill together. And so these are new things that I've always wanted to do that I've never done before.
And I'm running out of time, but I did want to say that you do make an excellent point there. And the more you keep grilling, the less likely you will have a nice body to show off next year. But but it's okay, because you've established a great friendship with your neighbor.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Look. Oh, my goodness. Sonia Aline and Joseph Williams, thank you so much for talking to us. We really appreciate it. Please continue to do what you're doing and stay safe.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, July 24th. For News Director Renee Nash. Oh, it's Friday. Friday. Yes, it is. Friday, July 24th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Bramante Bryant, Millette Green, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend, everybody.